because comedy is very culturally specific, and shows that are serialized, they're hard to rerun because, you know, if you miss a show here or there, you lose the track of the story. So I do think that media buyers are looking for something that fits the mold that they're used to, like a Law & Order or an NCIS, but that's often very different than the kind of shows that we call quality shows on television.
Eric, thanks very much.
Thank you.
That's NPR's Eric Deggans. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with a mid-morning commodity market report. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter July wheat is 546 and three quarters, up 3.5. Soft July wheat, the Chicago variety, 513, down 1.25. July corn, 367 and a half, down a half. September, 374, down a half. December, 384 and a quarter, down a half. July soybeans are 957, now 56 and three quarters, down a quarter. September, 941, up three quarters. November, 938 and a quarter, up 1.25. July soybean meal, 302.70, up 50. July soybean oil, 33.34. That's exactly where it started the trade after the opening bell this morning. June live cattle, 153.75, now 72.5, down 7.5. May feeders are 219.75, they're up 50. And June lean hogs, 82.92.5, now 95, and they are down $1. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
I think we need to start with the wheat market, given what we saw yesterday, which was an astonishing rally in the wheat market, maybe predicated a little bit on the twos, too dry in some foreign nations, too wet in parts of the U.S., and also wondering whether or not there was some technical signs flashed along the way as well. But all in all, I have to ask you, does it suggest that if we get a little bit of follow-through, that the low is in for wheat?
Yeah, I think the question, the last question, Dave, would be answered as yes if the dollar continues in a sideways to lower manner. I think what we saw in the post-report environment of bigger ending stocks, even with bigger demand and total usage being shown, was the record net short position by the managed money funds. They recognized the shift in asset allocation was probably needed, something you and I have been talking about for several weeks now, something Todd and I have been talking about for several weeks on you guys' program, that it started with the crude oil and the gold, and it started with the commodity indexes starting to find some support and some buy signals on the monthly chart. And I think in the context that the dollar has fallen 7% now in the last 4 weeks and is only now up a little over 3% on the year as far as the dollar index, this helped keep the wheat into a mindset of coming off the launch pad and allowing that lead month to jump 13% since last week, with the vast majority of it, indeed, like you say, being yesterday. But yes, I think you have a scenario in the report that I think blends nicely with this issue of the managed money positions being net short by a record amount, and that is, as the USDA came out with a 15-16 average price of $5. Well, in the Western Corn Belt, you're dealing with 450 new crop wheat prices, and closer to Toledo in the Eastern Corn Belt, or in the Eastern Wheat Belt in this sense, you're dealing with 490. And so you're at the very low end of the spectrum when it comes to the Western Corn Belt, and barely hitting, on report day numbers anyway, barely hitting the average cash price in wheat. And you could say the same thing for corn as well. So you have, I think, a combination of taking the market too low, you needed to feed the bear, and you needed to keep the dollar strong with these kind of positions in place. And so there's a lot of unwinding that can continue to be done as long as the dollar keeps going down.
And that dollar is made a new low for its move for the week. And I suppose if it were to somehow stay below last week's low, which was 93.82.2, that you're opening the window a little bit further, and maybe, I don't know, 90 is possible?
I think that's very accurate, because there's a major moving average right around that 90-10 area. And I think the thing that economically and analytically that we can talk about that would suspect or give us expectations that the dollar could fall that much fundamentally is that the jobs reports and some of these other economic data reports that the trade has been buying the dollar on are, quite frankly, either static or reverse-looking or backward-looking. They're after the fact. And some of the other data, like retail sales and consumption data and the University of Michigan indexes and things like that, those are forward-looking. And quite honestly, they just have not gotten any steam or headway. And that data actually looks a lot like the Chinese data, that we are slipping or we're not making any progress. And so I think it really goes back to the issue, do we really need to be buying the dollar in the currency markets if you don't have something like Greece falling off a cliff? And I think the market's realizing that, no, you really don't need to. I don't think the dollar is in a downtrend or anything like that. I just would like it to be sideways to somewhat lower. And that way, I think the end user, the demand side, would get off that just-in-time buying mindset and maybe pick up the demand speed a little bit more and extend his coverage a little bit more. That would be very welcome, given the stocks numbers we saw in the report this week.
So then wheat then has some play in support of a corn, and if lead futures could do a little bit there. You're looking at weekly reversals up and potentially monthly reversals up. And could it be that we, unless weather is perfect, and I mean perfect, you know, perfect between now and pollination, we've seen the low in the corn market.
I think that's highly likely. I would put it another way. I would be surprised if the pre-report lows in December corn would be taken out at this stage. And if they would be, it'd be very, very concerning. And it would suggest to me that either something in the macro market happened, in other words, the Greece situation reared its head again in a much worse format, or we stepped up political tensions with China because of the South China Sea. That's starting to get my attention. Or, quite honestly, probably the most likely scenario would be the avian flu moves into the broiler market. Mm-hmm. That would really put the kibosh in my mindset on the potential for a major low in the corn and in the feed grains as a whole. So the pre-report December corn lows are the things that I'm really going to watch between now and the June 30th update by USDA.
Could it be also that the production is truly not going to be there for this year?
Well, I don't know if the trade wants to go down that path yet, because they're contending with an El Nino that could give us good supply and production here in this country, but really more than offset that in Asia and India and Australia with really poor production. Mm-hmm. If it's as strong as El Nino as the Australian Bureau of Meteorology says it's going to be, and that the CPC said this week was going to be 90% likely through summer, those strong El Ninos really tend to hurt the production potential in some of our major exporting markets into Asia, and it really crimps the ability of countries like Australia to push out wheat and push out beef, because they tend to get in a severe drought.
Well, let's turn our attention to beans, which this week, for all intents and purposes, has now punched out, technically touched last year's low. I mean, within a little bit, but close enough, and now has rallied back a little bit since. Can you make a case for the beans to rally further?
If the wheat and corn and the asset allocation comes along and has a rising tide lifting all boats, I think that's the best scenario, Dave. I think that the weaker dollar scenario, as we've talked about before, but it needs repeating, I think, could actually play a negative role in the bean price, because it would be likely that the South American producer would push out his excessive bean supplies. I mean, we've got another increase from Argentina, another increase from Brazil, some of that data since the USDA report this week. And so I'm very nervous about the currency relationship with why, because of inflation, they've been holding their production down there. And I'm also very nervous about the idea that China is going to take a lot more beans. I mean, the USDA came out and said they're going to expand their demand 3%. China's going to be 24% of the global consumption increase for 15-16, and yet I'm getting pretty good data suggesting that the hog numbers in China are still down 20-30%, and their first quarter feed demand in terms of their largest province is down a strong 10% versus the 2014 first quarter. So something doesn't jive there, and it makes me very nervous that the soybeans are still going to be the short side of spreads and need to be sold on rallies, especially if we can get back to that 975, 990 level.
All right, Mike, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks much.
Have a great day, sir.
That's Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas. July corn, 366.5, down 1.5. December, 383.5, down 1.25. July of 16 is 408.25, down 1. July beans, 956, down 1. November, 937.5, now even, and they are unchanged. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.